to thank the Sheikh for his contribution. And it is quite sad that after today, the series of lecture ends. But we hope that in the future, we can collaborate on such events to gain insights from your knowledge. I would like to thank everyone who stuck with us for the duration of the lectures. And I hope you can find something of use from today's as well. Now, without further delay, I would like to invite Brother Shayan Mehdi to come forward and begin the program with his recitation of the Holy Quran. Shayan, are you here?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم الذي هجر لم تر كيف فعل ربك بعاد إرم ذات العماد التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد وثمود الذين جابوا الصخر بالواد وفرعون ذي الأوتاد الذين طغوا في البلاد فأكثروا فيها الفساد فصب عليهم ربك سوط عذاب إن ربك لبالمرصاد فأما الإنسان إذا ما ابتلاه ربه فأكرمه ونعمه فيقول ربي أكرمن وأما إذا ما ابتلاه فقدر عليه رزقه فيقول ربي أهانه كلا بل لا تكرمون اليتيم ولا تحافظون على طعام المسكين وتأكلون التراث أكلا لما وتحبون المال حبا جما كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا وجيء يومئذ بجهنم يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكرى يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد يا أيها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Thank you, Shayan, for your beautiful recitation of Surah Al-Fajr. And as it says in the closing verses, Ya ayyatuha an-nafs al-mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyah. And it is absolutely, you know, it makes perfect sense, because when our first imam, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, when he was struck in sujood, he cried out, Futu bi rabbil Kaaba, by the Lord of the Kaaba I have succeeded. So it is only logical that on the plains of Karbala, the skies, the heavens cried out, O satisfied soul, return to your Lord, for he is pleased with you as you are pleased with him. May Allah accept, Shayan, your contribution and all of our contribution and efforts in the path of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Now, I would like to invite Brother Jadi Abbas to come forward and recite a salam. Unfortunately, we're a little short on time, and I'm sorry for elongating my speech as well. So you have about 3 to 4 minutes. Jadi, if you would like to begin now.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Akbar is the light, Akbar is the moon, Akbar shining bright like a new moon. Akbar is the light, Akbar is the moon, Akbar shining bright like a new moon. Image of Nabi, in all that one could be, the vision of Hussein and all that he could see. Image of Nabi, in all that one could be, the vision of Hussein and all that he could see. Beloved of Zainab, life of Ummi Layla, the strength of Hussein, love of Bibi Zuhra. Beloved of Zainab, life of Ummi Layla, the strength of Hussein, love of Bibi Zuhra. He fought like a hero and slew all oppressors, but was struck in his heart with a jagged arrow. He fought like a hero and slew all oppressors, but was struck in his heart with a jagged arrow. He called out to his father, Hussein, who couldn't see. So thirsty and in pain, Akbar died in agony. He called out to his father, Hussein, who couldn't see. So thirsty and in pain, Akbar died in agony. Akbar is the light, Akbar is the moon, Akbar shining bright like a new moon. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa jil faraj.
Akbar is the light, Akbar is the moon, and truly he was, as he is regarded as Hamshakhle Payambar, the lookalike of the Prophet in every single way. Thank you, Jedi. And next, I would like to invite Brother Ali Mujtaba to come and recite his salam. Are you here, man?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. फौज आदा की उधर जंग पे तैयार खरी जान देने पे यहाँ फौज इलाही तितुली अकबयक शेर की नजर अकबर महरूप परी देखकर सूए पिसर शाह ने आवाज ये दी तकद्दम वाला दी तकद्दम वाला दी करबला हो चुकी तैयार तकद्दम वाला दी सज चुका मौत का बाजार तकद्दम वाला दी होती है तीरों की बोचार तकद्दम वाला दी जद पे है सब मेरे अंसार तकद्दम वलदी इन पे आता है लाजिम हाल तकद्दम वलदी करबला हो चुकी तैयार तकद्दम वाला दी वक्त ये वो है के तलवार उठाए हम लोग دین حق کو کسی صورت سے بچائے ہم لوگ کیوں کسی اور پر اس بار کو ڈالے ہم لوگ کیوں نہ یہ مار کا خود آپ سنبھالے ہم لوگ کھینچ کر نیام سے تلوار تقدم ولدی کربلا ہو چکی تیار تقدم ولدی لشکر شام کو بھرنے کی اجازت کیوں دے روک دے دور قریب آنے کی مہلت کیوں دے ہم بے نرغا کریں اتنی انہیں فرصت کیوں دے اور اس کے لیے اصحاب کو زحمت کیوں دیں چاروں جانب سے ہے یلغار تقدم ولدی کربلا ہو چکی تیار تقدم ولدی دین نانا کا مٹے اور نہ وسا سہلے یہ نہ ہوگا کبھی ہم سے کوئی کچھ بھی کہہ لے خون بہتا ہے جو ہم لوگوں کا اس پر بہلے بیجتا جنگ پہ عابد کو میں تم سے پہلے مگر آبے تو ہیں بیمار تقدم ولدی کربلا ہو چکی تیار تقدم ولدی صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كربلا هو تیار the time of the departure of Imam Hussein from his camp is upon us, the time where everything will be lost and the cruelest of the events in history, in Islamic history, in human history will occur. That time is upon us. Without further ado, I would like to invite Brother Ayan Mirza to come forward and recite his salam. Unfortunately, due to a restricted amount of time, can we please keep it a little short, Ayan, please? If you're here, you may begin.
As-salamu
alaykum.
لاش اکبر اٹھا رہے ہیں حسین لاش اکبر اٹھا رہے ہیں حسین دل کی قوت دکھا رہے ہیں حسین لاش اکبر اٹھا رہے ہیں حسین دو صدا ہو کہاں علی اکبر دو اٹھا رہے ہیں حسین آہ کرتے ہیں بیٹھ جاتے ہیں آہ کرتے ہیں بیٹھ جاتے ہیں کس اٹھا رہے ہیں لاش اکبر اٹھا رہے ہیں حسین لاش اکبر اٹھا رہے ہیں حسین صلوات اللہم صلی علی محمد و آل محمد
لاش اکبر اٹھا رہے ہیں حسین. A truly, truly heartbreaking sight to behold, to imagine. We can only, the thought of such an event happening breaks our hearts. So can we take a second and give our pursa to Imam Zamana, who witnesses the events of Karbala in front of him. For his tears are tears of blood. Now to begin the final speech in our series of lectures for this series, I would like to invite Sheikh Muzaffar Haider, who's been excellent, and we would love for you to continue educating us in the future. Sheikh, are you here?
Assalamu alaikum, I'm here.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث صدق الله العلي العظيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. I'd like to start by giving my condolences to all of the believers on this very, very painful day. I'd like to thank all the organizers for making this event a possibility, to the honorable host and to all those who have helped to make this happen. A few words very quickly before we begin. The recitations have been beautiful. There is something very special and very poignant about the Urdu and Farsi languages. So it's very good to see that. I remember when I was younger, my dad would always force me to recite nohaz in Urdu. And it really helped. It helps a lot in the child's development. The surah also, which was alluded to by the host at the beginning, which was recited, is Surah Fajr. And this surah has so much to do with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Some of the scholars even refer to it as the surah of Hussein. Inshallah, if Allah gives us the tawfiq, we can go into the tafsir of that surah and explain and actually expand on some of the points, which are absolutely magnificent. Wal asr, wal fajr, wal layalin ashr. It's swearing by the fajr, the daybreak, and it's swearing by the 10 nights. Today is a very difficult day. Before we go to the masaib, however, I'd like to share just three points with you. Three very brief and very significant points. You see, when I was younger, when I was around 19 years old, before that, I was a pretty naughty kid. I was a bad kid. I did a lot of bad things that I regret, which I'm sure that a lot of the youths out there have also experienced such things. When I was 19, I had a conversation with somebody, and that conversation changed my life forever. And this conversation went on for maybe an hour or two, but I'm going to just tell you the three points, because when I actually thought about it and wondered why did it have such a significant impact on me, I realized it was only three points. Now, it changed me to such a dramatic extent that when I went home, I looked at my bedroom and I just thought, what have I been doing? Everywhere in my bedroom, the walls were plastered with posters of Hollywood. And, you know, I was a big fan of a lot of Hollywood movies. I had action figurines and I had lots of hats. I used to love hats. I had lots of attachments. And many people might think, well, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing haram about it. And yes, you're right. There's nothing haram about these things. You can have posters. You can have action figures. You can have hats. And for sisters, it will be slightly different. You know, you sisters, you're going to be have slightly different attachments. But the point is, my life was being lived for those things. We all have to identify what our idols are. And that day, I had such a big transformation in my life that I realized I don't want any of this. I made a conscious decision that I would spend the rest of my life at least attempting to give myself in every way for the sake of the deen. And so I actually removed my mattress. A mattress is something that people would actually think, hey, that's a completely normal thing to have. But for some reason back then, when I was 19 years old, I thought to myself, why am I living my life like this? I did not want a mattress anymore. I said, get this out of my room. I pulled it. I dragged it out of my room. I got rid of it. I wanted to live completely minimalistically. I realized that all of those things meant nothing. I ripped off the posters from my bedroom walls. I took down the action figures. I gave them away. I did not care anymore. I donated my hats. Did not matter anymore. I wanted to live purely for the sake of Islam, meaning that whatever clothing Allah chooses for me, I'll wear that clothing. Whatever food He chooses for me, I will eat that food. Whatever words He chooses for me, I'll speak those words. Nothing else, nothing else, and nothing else. What were those three things that changed my life so dramatically? When I say them to you, they may not seem so significant. And that's the point. Many of these things are things that we already know. But for some reason, they just don't have that effect on us. They just don't hit us. They're very ordinary things. The first of them was what? The brother who was talking to me about these things, I noticed certain changes in him. So I wanted to know what has changed this brother. He used to, you know, go out, he used to listen to haram music. He used to hang around with the opposite gender. He used to do, you know, questionable things. What has changed so much in him? Because I noticed that suddenly he's praying his prayers as though he can see Allah. I noticed that he, when he sees a woman walk by in the street, he didn't just lower his gaze like that. No, he proper lowered his gaze. He was doing everything Islam asked him to do. And I wanted to know, what's your secret? So this brother of mine, he said that number one, I can't explain to you what happened. This is my friend talking now. This is what he explained to me. The point number one was this. He said, number one, I realized God exists. God is a reality. And he said, Mudhaffar, I can't explain to you why I know, but certain things have happened in my life, a sequence of events, which if I tried to explain them to you, I wouldn't be able to explain. But what they have done is for me, they have made me absolutely certain without a shadow of doubt, 110%. I know absolutely clearly, it's crystal clear for me now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a reality. And when it hit me, I was shaking, I was quivering. I realized He is watching my every action. He is right there with us all the time. He sees, He hears, He is the eternal. This was the first thing, point number one. But when I was listening to him say this, it was fascinating. But for me, it was like, well, I already know that. That's obviously clear to me. Atheists' arguments are all pathetic. They've all been debunked. They don't make sense. God has to exist. So for me, that's not the point that had so much of an impact. He went on to the second point. He said to me, I've realized that our smallest actions have the biggest consequences. He started giving me examples. He said that, you know, when you're going in your car, for example, somebody crosses the road, you stop your car so that they can cross by. When they cross by, they don't show you their hand to say thank you. Such a little thing. And yet it has such a big effect. You say salamu alaykum to somebody, they don't say wa alaykum salam. Such a little thing. And yet it can make you angry from inside. He told me a story about a person who had, he had experienced these tiny little things in his day. And so his day was not going the way that he wanted his day to go. And he was getting increasingly, increasingly agitated and angry. Tiny things, but they were having a big effect on him. Eventually, when he went home, his little boy was doing something naughty. This is a true story. His little boy was doing something naughty. He was jumping around. He was, I don't know, he broke some sort of dish or something silly. This father grabbed a stick and he whacked his son. He was angry. All those little things were happening throughout the day. He got angry. And so he hit this boy. The boy's arm started to swell. It swelled and swelled and swelled. It got bigger and bigger. The boy started to get a fever. The dad thought, well, I haven't done anything. I just hit him. They had to take him to the hospital. The doctor said the stick with which you hit that child had a nail in it. And this nail has made it go septic. Something is infected. We have to amputate his arm. At the end, this little boy comes out of the hospital room and he says, Dad, I'm sorry I was naughty. I'm sorry I broke that dish. I'm sorry I did whatever I did. Can I have my arm back now? This was so devastating for the dad that he ran to the window. He jumped out of it. He committed suicide. The smallest things, dear brothers and sisters, respected elders, the most insignificant things that we can do can have extraordinary results. This is why Imam Ali alayhi salam says, the smallest sin is the one that you take lightly. You think little of it. And so it becomes that greater sin. Don't take out. And it's the same thing for the opposite. The small bad things that happen, the small bad things that we do can have great consequences. The tiniest good deeds that we do also have enormous, tremendous results. Tremendous natija, as they call it. So that was the second thing. But still, something, it was getting to me more by this point, but something just wasn't hitting me. Okay, fine. That's true. When you put it into that perspective, you're right. The smallest things do have the biggest consequences. A person spends even 70 years of his life sinning, he gets an eternity of hellfire. A person spends his life doing good deeds, he gets an eternity of reward for it. That's fine. But still, it was not hitting me. So I said, what is the third thing? He said, all my life I have been lied to. Yes, lied to. And remember when I say this to you, it might not seem so significant, but if we contemplate about it, if we think about it, that's when it will really start to hit us. that's when it will start to actually hit us. I said, what is the third thing? He says to me, I'm getting really distracted. The reciter, Hussein Makki, I believe he has a question, or he's got his hand up accidentally. If he's got a question, I'm willing to answer it. Nope, no question. Okay. I said, what is the third thing? He said, the third thing is I've been lied to my entire life. We all have. We've been told that we are waiting for Imam Mahdi. But that's not the truth. The truth is, the reality is, Imam Mahdi is ready. He has been ready from day one. It's us who he is waiting for. The Imam of our time is waiting for us. Just as we are saying, عَجِّلْ فَرَجَهُمْ, the Imam also is saying, come to the right path. We can make a difference. We can make a change. Come towards your salvation. The Imam is calling us. these three things, dear brothers and sisters, respected elders. When afterwards I came to the Hawza, I realized that our aqa'id is actually based on these three things. Our entire principled belief system is about tawheed, the oneness of God, is about qiyamah, the hereafter, about there being consequences for our actions, and about nabuwa, the fact that we have a leader who is present and we need to answer the call of that leader. Sister Farah, if you have a question, I'm willing to take it before we move to the masa'id. If you can send your question to the admin will tell me the question, inshallah. Nokia 5.1 Plus also has a question. I don't mind taking those questions. If you can forward your questions to the admin, I believe his name is Babel Ilm Society Ireland. If you can send your question to Babel Ilm, he can send it to me or one of the hosts. If not, we're going to move on. Yeah, that's Babel Ilm Society. You can send the questions to him. And then he will tell me the question, inshallah, and then I can answer it. While we're waiting for the question to come in. Question number one, how come only one person make a difference? Really? Okay. How can only one person make a difference? إِنَّمَا عَعِذُكُمْ بِوَاحِدَ أَن تَقُومُ لِلَّهِ مَثْنَى وَفُرَادَ. Allah says in the Divine Book, I ask you, I command you, I urge you only to one thing, that you stand, you rise for the sake of Allah, whether it be in pairs or on your own. Because of this mentality that what will one person do, nothing ever changes. No significant change can ever come about if we continue to have this mentality. We need to realize, even if there's only one person standing, you should be that one person. You should be that one person. Let me tell you a quick story, okay? Ibrahim alayhi salam, the great prophet Ibrahim, the taghut of his time was called Nimrud. Nimrud built a tremendous fire to burn this prophet in. At that moment, the ahadith tell us that all the people, by the way, they were so frightened by that fire and frightened by Nimrud, none of them, even though they loved Ibrahim, they said, there's no way, I can't make a difference. This is a huge fire. I'm one person. None of them even attempted anything. You know who did try? The ahadith tell us a tiny animal, either a frog, some say a lizard, some say it was a tiny little fly. Let's go with the flies. This tiny creature went and with its tiny hands or with its mouth, it picked up a droplet of water and started to throw it on this enormous fire. Allah loved this tiny creature so much that the Quran tells us that we gave wahi to the bee. We gave divine inspiration to the bee to create honey. Okay, so that creature was honored and respected by Allah more than most of the people who were alive at that time. Think about it. It's not about, if think about it this way. If everybody's doing something and then you do it, what's the point? Where was the challenge? There was no challenge. Everybody was already doing it. That wasn't scary for you to do. The point is, dear brothers and sisters, you need to do it when nobody else is doing it. Look at the verses of the Quran. It tells us you should be the first of those who submit to Islam. Be the first of those who stand and say, I am Muslim. This is what Imam Ali alayhi salam did. This is why Imam Ali alayhi salam was the first of the Muslims. That's why he is the vicegerent of the Holy Prophet. That's why he is the successor, because he stood up when nobody else stood up. Okay, so it's always about this. It's always about standing up, even if you are alone. The whole ethos of Karbala, of Ashura, of the 10 days of Muharram, of commemorating the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, is precisely about this, that even if you are alone, you will stand up for the truth, even if nobody else is standing up for the truth. This is what Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the companions of Hussein teach us. Okay, so I hope that answered your question. There's more we could say about it, but let me go to the next question. Question number two. To what extent should Muslims practice asceticism, or can we have Muslim billionaires? You can have Muslim billionaires. The point that we need to adhere to is Imam Ali alayhi salam said, live in this dunya. Don't let this dunya live in you. Okay? Stay, you know, gather what you can. أعدوا لهم ما استطعتم من قوة ومن رباط الخيل ترهبون به عدو الله وعدوكم. The Quran tells us, gather what you can, raise whatever army you can, raise your weapons and your horses so that you might strike fear into the hearts of the enemies. Allah wants you to prepare your funds and everything that you can for the sake of Imam Mahdi. The ahadith tell us that you should prepare for the dhuhur of Imam Mahdi, even if it is down to one arrow. So definitely you can do those things, but what's important is you don't get attached. It's attachment which is the problem. Question number three. Can you arrange a lecture about music, please? Inshallah, if Allah gives us tawfiq, as soon as possible, because I do feel that people need a reminder on that. Somebody has sent a personal question. My question is that all the people say that Hussein's defeat shows that he sacrificed his whole family for his religion and he had faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a lot of people say that Hazrat Abbas had permission from Imam Hussein. He could have defeated the 30,000 opposition army. This also would show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was on Imam Hussein's side. Yep, I don't see the question, but yeah, that's pretty much true. I'm not sure to what extent it is poetry and to what extent it is true, but definitely the members of the Ahlul Bayt had such immense strength given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not unbelievable. Question number four. As a Muslim who is about to graduate, should I consider moving to a Muslim country like Pakistan or Iran? Is it possible to settle in Iran if you are not a Hausa student? It is very difficult to settle in Iran. We're not being given passports. Inshallah, let's hope that the situation changes. I would still highly recommend for whoever wishes to, whoever truly wants to make that change, to move back to the Muslim lands. Even Agha Sistani, when we went to, just recently somebody went to visit Agha Sistani, one of the things, one of the advices that he gave was that, you know, you should get your education, but move back to the Islamic lands because you do not belong in the West. Question number five. If my sister doesn't wear hijab, should I saying to wear it? I am scared to be annoying and leave her from Islam. It's a difficult question. If your sister is not wearing hijab, to an extent, dear brother, yeah, you should warn them. But to an extent, it is the duty of the father and the husband. They are actually the ones who will be punished. Oftentimes we often forget this, that if our sisters are not wearing hijab, if your daughter is not wearing hijab, if your wife is not wearing hijab, there are hadith even that tell us that the husband of the wife who does not wear a hijab in public is cursed. Okay, so to an extent, it's the duty of the husband, it's the duty of the father. You can say so much, maybe you can forward a video, but after that, you kind of just have to let it go. It's difficult. If she's your mahram, if she's your actual sister, then there's a little more than you that you can do. Don't be afraid that, oh, people will be put off and then leave Islam. If it's getting to that point, just back off. It's okay. Your job is to warn people, and that's all you can really do. It becomes painful. And through this pain, dear brother, you will understand the pain of the Holy Prophet. Because Allah says in the Quran that, look, O Messenger of Allah, perhaps you would kill yourself out of pain because they do not believe. Okay, so the Prophet had so much pain in his heart, not because he had anything to gain, but because he knew that these people are going to harm themselves through committing sins. The Prophet is a rahmatul alameen. He cared, he loved his people. He loved all people, and so he wanted to save them. And so it pained him when they did not listen. Identify that with that pain by doing nahi and ayn al-munkar. That's all we have time for when it comes to questions. We're going to move on now to the masaib. Today is a very difficult day. Today, you can even feel it, dear brothers and sisters. I can feel it already because night has fallen here. And I tell you, when we look outside of the window, it feels that much darker. And the atmosphere is thick with a kind of grief. No matter where you go, most of my life I have spent it in London, the UK. And even there, wherever you go, you feel this pain. You feel the atmosphere of Muharram enveloping the skies. I want to take you back now. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam once appeared in his home, and he was covered in this dust and this sand. Umm Salama asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what is this dust that you have on your shoulders, Ya Rasulullah? He said, oh dear wife, this dust is the dust of Nainawa. This dust is the dust of Karbala. And he gave a handful of this dust, the handful of this sand, to Umm Salama. And he said, oh Umm Salama, when this dust turns red, you should know that they have massacred my beloved Hussein in the battlefield of Karbala. This was over 50 years before. Now let's fast forward to the day that Umm Salama is looking at that sand and she's waiting. And very soon, oh Umm Salama, you will see that this sand will truly turn red to signify that Imam Hussein alayhi salam has been slain. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Just a few moments ago, Hussein, all alone in Karbala, has taken up his sword to dig a very small grave in the ground of Karbala. And alone, he has buried his infant child, Ali ibn Aswar. They say that after Abbas was killed, Hussein turned to see that nobody was left to help him against his enemies. He was truly all alone now. There was nobody left to help our Mawla Hussein. Zainab, the beloved sister of Hussein, turned to Imam and said, oh Hussein, oh my brother, oh my master, they have slain all the companions, they have slain the remnants of the Ahlul Bayt, they have slain Ali ibn al-Asghar and Ali ibn al-Akbar, and they have even slain Abbas. Hussein says to his sister, oh my sister, you must be strong. Oh my sister, for what you shall endure after my passing shall be far more difficult. So, oh Zainab, you must be strong now, for you shall lead the others in my stead. At this point, it is said that the women, the sisters, the daughters, the orphans of the camp of Hussein came rushing out and they clutched onto Hussein. This is his final farewell before he goes. They say that this was too much to bear for Hussein. They say that this scene was too much to bear for Hussein. And so he cried out in a loud voice, "Is there anybody who can defend the sanctity of the Messenger of Allah?" At this point, it is said that a sound was heard from the tent, and they went and they saw that somebody was walking. He was leaning on a staff, and he had no energy because he was sick, and he could barely stand. And he came, and he said, "Oh, I will help." And it was Imam Sajjad. Imam Hussein told Umm Kulthum, "Go and help him back into his room." He says, "Oh my son, your struggle will continue after I have gone. This is not your day. You must be patient now." He ordered his dependents to go and get an undershirt for him. When the undershirt was bought for our Imam, he said, "Not this, not this. Bring something else. Bring something which is so measly that they will not rip it from my body." And so he takes this undershirt and he rips it and he tears it. And he wears completely worthless clothes. And when Zainab asks why, he says, "Because they will loot my corpse. I want to make sure that I have some sort of clothing on my body when they are looting me." They say that then when he put on his armor, he put on his helmet, he put on his equipment, and he climbed onto his horse, Nurjana. Can you imagine this man now? All of his companions have gone. He is completely alone. And as he climbs onto his horse and he begins towards the enemy, but then the poets say the horse would not step forward. Hussein turns to see why. And they say at this point that his young daughter, Sakina, Sukaina, Ruqayya, is holding on to the legs of the horse. And she is saying, "Oh, Hussein, oh my father, are you leaving me?" Hussein says, "Oh my daughter." And he turns to Zainab and he says, "Oh, Zainab, look after her especially, for she is very attached to me. It will be very difficult for her. And she would sleep on my chest. This daughter of mine is used to sleeping on her father's chest. She has many difficult nights ahead of her." It is said it is at this point where Umar ibn Sa'd, the cursed one, ordered his troops and said, "Attack him while he is distracted by his women folk." Hussein at this point advanced towards the enemies. This is Hussein alone on the battlefield. Heartbroken Hussein. All his helpers have been slain. Helpless Hussein. Ali Akbar has been slain. Backbroken Hussein. His brother Abbas has been slain. Thirsty Hussein. Ali Asghar has been slain. Betrayed and abandoned alone when he galloped into the direction of the enemies. They knew that this was the son of Rasulullah. This was the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This was the son of Fatima, the brother of Hasan al-Mujtaba. So they immediately were commanded to attack him in full force. This army of darkness immediately surrounded this heavenly man upon his white horse. And Hussein Hossein, they say, he fought so courageously. It was like a lion throwing down the dogs. And it is reported by one of the witnesses. He said, never have I seen someone surrounded by a huge number of enemies and whose sons have been slain, whose family and companions have been massacred, yet he maintains his composure. He is relentless and courageous, more than Al-Hussein. Whenever Hussein charged at a group of them, they would flee and none of them would stand their ground. This is Hussein fighting like a winged angel on the battlefield. They say that one of the flanks of the enemies was 4,000 strong, and now Mola Hussein fought them so hard. Mola Hussein fought them so hard that this 4,000 flank was pushed back against the river Euphrates. They attacked from every direction. Spears, swords, lances, arrows. They say that Imam Hussein suffered 72 wounds. Imam Sajjad is reported to have said that when they left Hussein, there wasn't an inch of his body that did not have a wound on it, either from a spear or a lance or an arrow. Hussein still fights on, but he feels a scorching thirst. And they say whenever he would fight them back, he would take a moment and say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And then he starts to feel this scorching thirst take over him. And I say to you, O mourners of Hussein, this is the night of Ashura. When Ali ibn al-Akbar was thirsty, he complained to his father of his thirst. But who does Hussein have to complain to? In such a condition, Hussein asks for water from his enemies. And one of the men at this point says, Oh Hussein, do you see how the Euphrates shimmers? You shall not taste of it until you die of thirst. Hussein is fighting now. He has fought them up to the river Euphrates. Oh, dear mourners of Hussein, do you know how they stopped him from drinking water even at this point to get Hussein away from the river to ensure that he died thirsty? To make him get away from the river, one of the enemies cried out to him, Will you drink of that water while your women are being attacked? And there was nobody left to defend those women. Abbas is gone, Ali ibn al-Akbar is gone. So Hussein starts to gallop back to that camp in order to protect his women folk. They say that Hussein charged back to defend the women. Ya Mustafa, this is what the Ummah did with your family. This is Hussein. This is your grandson, left alone to defend the women folk. And they say that anyone who came near, Hussein pounced on them like a lion. He snapped them and he pounced on them and he threw them down. But at one point, Hussein is thrown off his horse. They attack him from behind and Hussein is thrown from his horse. He hits the ground. One of the men fired an arrow, which cut the blessed forehead of the Imam. They say that he pulled the arrow out, blood spilled out. And he said, he turned his head towards the heavens and he said, "Oh Allah, you see what condition I am in." Hussein still fought them back onto the battlefield. He was severely weakened, but the enemy, no longer dared approach the tents as long as he was still standing. An arrow from one side, a sword from another side, a poisoned lance, a spear from another place. They say, Hussein. They say Hussein stopped for a moment to rest, and a stone was thrown at his brow. Blood started to gush down his face. Hussein raised his head towards the heavens, and he said, "Oh Allah, you know that these people are killing a man who is the only son of the daughter of your messenger remaining on earth. And he took a piece of his own shirt and tied the wound up so that he could continue fighting. Yet another arrow hit him in the back, and they say he pulled it out and blood gushed forth, depriving the Imam of his battling strength. Ya Fatima, when Abbas had lost his strength, when Abbas had lost his blood, when Abbas was in his last moments, he was in the arms of Hussein, who comforted him in those last moments. But oh Fatima, your son Hussein had nobody's arms to fall into. Your son Hussein had no words of comfort to hear. Your son Hussein was surrounded by enemies with sharp weapons. They were jeering, they were insulting him, they were mocking him, they were attacking him. They say a moment came when Hussein's face was covered in blood. And he said, "This is how I shall appear when I meet my Lord and my grandfather Muhammad, drenched in my own blood." At this point, they say that there appeared a heavenly light around Hussein. Every time an arrow hit him, every time a spear slashed at him, every time a stone was slung at him, that light grew brighter and brighter. This army of darkness surrounded our Imam, and they saw that he is completely alone, and he fell to the ground. And they say also that he went on like this for a long while. Every time he fell, he would stand up again and continue to fight, and then he would fall, and then he would stand up again, and then he would fall, and he would stand up again and continue fighting against them. Every time an enemy came close to kill Hussein, they became afraid and turned away, until only the most cursed ones now surrounded him, and they closed in all around him. Hussein was in his last moments. One of the cursed ones struck the head of Hussein with his sword, which cut through the top of his helmet and reached
reached his skull and blood poured down from his helmet, and he was completely covered in his own holy blood. Ya Ali Mawla, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ya Mushkil Kusha, Oh Haydar, this is what they did with your son after you. This is how the Ummah treated him. This is how lowly he had become. And then it was at this point where Hussein says, Hal min nasirin yansurni. Is there anybody to help me? It is said that a kid, they heard a noise from the tent. Zayna went inside to see what it was. Sajjad had fallen from his bed, sword in his hand. He was crawling to try to help the Imam of his time for having heard his call for help. Hussein throws his own blood in the air, just as he had thrown the blood of Ali Akbar, just as he had thrown the blood of Ali Asghar. And he said, make what has happened to me easy for me. It is he being witnessed by Allah. And so Hussein falls. He falls to the ground. Too many arrows in his body. Some of the reports describe him to have looked like a porcupine, because he was covered in so many arrows. And when he was covered in this many arrows and he was bleeding to death on the ground, he could no longer lift his own sword. At this point, the cursed ones said, attack the women of Hussein, attack the tents. And they say, Hussein started to crawl. He started to drag his body across the earth to try to defend his women. And some of the reports say that at this point, the ladies came running out. Sayyidah Zainab declared, and she cried out, Ya Muhammada! Oh Ali, oh Jafar, oh Hamza, this is Hussein slain in Karbala under the open sky. She looked at that body, she said, I wish the heavens had fallen upon the earth. I wish the mountains had crushed in the valley. And at this point, they started to loot the body of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. They took his shield. They took his sword. They ripped off his armor. They took everything from Imam Hussein. One cursed one tried to take the rings of Imam Hussein. When the ring didn't come off, they started to hack away at the fingers of Imam Hussein. When seeing this tragedy, the angels in the heavens cried out. The angels in the heavens complained to Allah. They said, this is your Hussein. This is the progeny of the Prophet. In order to calm down the angels, Allah brought forth and summoned the shadow of Al-Qa'im Al-Mahdi. And he said, through him I shall avenge this. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi.
Ya Hussein, 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 Ya Hussein. Bismillah. Aba al-Fadl bihisasi, Malik milak anfasi, أبا الفضل بحساسي ملك ملك أنفاسي جسمك توزع وجفوفك أوسع من كربلاء حلمي أرسمك ما تكفي جسمك أرض وسماء يا أوفى حارس جنح النوارس يحمي الكلام يعني بحضورك كل اللي يزورك سلام سلام أبا الفضل بحساسي ملك ملك أنفاسي عاشق ترابك وابقى لبابك دمعي يسيل واسمع منادي بالطف ينادي هنا الكفيل حامل لوائك في كربلائك طول الحياة كل يوم السئلة ويحكي لي عنك نهر الفرات نبض القلب عباسي ملك ملك أنفاسي أبا الفضل بحساسي ملك ملك أنفاسي جودك مليته جبدك نسيته ضامي بقيت صورة عضيدك مرسومة بيدك يا المعروات قطعت يمينك زادت حنينك يم الحسين قطعت شمالك كل احتمالك مصيوب عين آخر جروحك تحكيها روحك جرح العتاب رادت تشوفك شافت جفوفك فوق التراب لما اجتك مرعوبة اختك تنده تعال تنظر وضعها يهمل دمعها أمي دلال علمني أرفع راسي ملك ملك إحساسي أبا الفضل بحساسي ملك ملك أنفاسي أبا الفضل بحساسي ملك ملك أنفاسي.
يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين
يا حسين
اکبر
میرا شہر والا اکبر اکبر میرا شہر والا اکبر اکبر میرا شہر والا اکبر اکبر میرا شہر والا اکبر
زخم دل کے دکھاؤں میں کیسے زخم دل کے دکھاؤں میں کیسے تیرا لاشا اٹھاؤں میں کیسے اکبر میرا
شہر والا اکبر
اکبر میرا شہر والا اکبر عاشق بر پہ شاہ جب پہنچے دل کو ہاتھوں سے تھام کر بولے تیری فرقت میں علی اکبر آگ دل میں میرے لگا دی ہے آگ دل کی بجھاؤں میں کیسے آگ دل کی بجھاؤں میں کیسے تیرا لاشا اٹھاؤں میں کیسے اکبر میرا شہر والا اکبر میرا شہر والا اکبر
تو ہے کڑی الجوان اے بیٹا باپ تیرا ضعیف ہے کتنا نور آنکھوں کا ہو گیا رخسار اب تو آتا نہیں نظر خیمہ دیکھے خیموں میں جاؤں میں کیسے دیکھے خیموں میں جاؤں میں کیسے تیرا لاشا اٹھاؤں میں کیسے
MashaAllah, thank you, Brother Rashid, for your recitation of the Noha. I would also like to thank all the other reciters, Shayan Mahdi, for his recitation of the Holy Quran, Brothers Jari Abbas, Ali Mujtaba, and Ayan Mirza, as well as Brother Hussein Makki, for their recitation of their salams and the letim as well. And last but not least, I would also like to thank Sheikh Muzaffar Haider for sharing his time with us and enlightening us with such knowledge. I really hope that all of you picked up something from these 9 lectures. I surely did, because that is essentially what this Farsh of Aza is. It is a learning center, it is a school, and where we can learn and develop our characters. May Allah accept our actions in the path of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. May everyone that is watching this and all the Azadars of Imam Hussein across the world stay safe from this illness and from all other illnesses and problems. Assalamu alaikum.